everybody. Welcome to the first episode of Banter Box, a review podcast run by the team here at Mad Artists. Each week, we're going to be reviewing a different production. It could be a movie, it could be a TV show, it could be a book, it'll be whatever. So this week, we watched Mad Max Fury Road. My name is Danielle, and here are the Mad Artists that I have with me to help break this down today.
Hi, I'm John.
I'm Samuel.
All right, so just first impressions. I mean, I know that I think this was all of our first time seeing this. I don't think any of us have seen this before.
No, I've definitely not seen that.
Yeah, movie. So
that sounds totally fake.
So, just general, like, having not seen it before, when you heard we were going to have to watch this one, what did you anticipate? Did you anticipate more of like a Fast and Furious thing, or what were you thinking when you first like had to sit down and watch this?
I don't know. The cover, it all screamed like it was like Cars jacked up with Jack Daniels. Like, I don't know what that was. I didn't know what to think, to be honest. It was action adventure, but it also, I don't know, it looked weird.
Yeah, I had no idea it was even dystopian until you told me that. I was expecting fully just like Fast and Furious, but like more raunchy is what I was expecting. And I don't think that's what it ended up being.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
No, I didn't know. So I knew a little bit about the movie going into it. I'd never seen it, but I had a lot of friends who... It was... When it came out, it was very popular as the whole movie of the year thing.
Yeah,
everybody
kind
of talked about it a lot.
Like 10 awards.
It was
I mean, it was the most successful one in the franchise of Mad Max.
Right.
Sure.
Like, and critically, it was very successful at the time. So I kind of heard a lot about it. That's why I knew it was a dystopian film. And I knew it was part of a running series from Mel Gibson, which I want to go and see because I love Mel Gibson. But
totally didn't read the YouTube description that it presented to me, and that's how I knew it was dystopian.
I didn't know until literally we sat down to watch it, and Sam goes, yeah, it's dystopian, and I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah,
like,
I knew it was dystopian. I knew it had cars. I knew it had the guitarist because I'd seen clips of that.
Oh, we're gonna get to the guitarist because he was my favorite,
and
but we're gonna get to him later.
I think I'd seen the trailer once, and that was it, but that was the extent of my knowledge.
I think the trailer gives it the raunchy vibes because it's a lot of the female shots.
And all of them are just models,
sells, so,
but
yeah.
We're going to talk about that too. But no, I think I had this weirdly associated with like Mad Magazine, like from way back in the day. I don't know why. I heard Mad Magazine.
That
I heard
was on
Mad
Cartoon
Max.
Network.
I know, but I thought they were like the same thing. And since Mad Magazine was kind of like crass and stuff, I was like, oh, is that going to be what Mad Max is? Like, this is going to be rough. And then it wasn't so much like that. So that was good. So, just a little bit about this thing. So, it came out in 2015, which was a little further back than I had thought it had come out. The director was George Miller. It was also written by him with assistance from Brendan McCarthy and Nick, I'm going to butcher his last name, Lathouris. And it stars Tom Hardy and Charlize Theron, the queen. And this is actually available on Hulu Premium if you have a subscription, or you can like buy or rent it on Amazon Prime.
Or Google.
Yes, you can do that as well. And the IMDb summary for this movie. Also, this is a spoiler podcast. If you've not seen the movie and you don't want us ruining it.
Right into that.
Yeah, and you don't want us.
Didn't give a spoiler.
No,
warning.
And no. And so if you don't want us ruining the movie for you, maybe just stop listening, go watch it, and then come back. But the IMDb summary says, in a post-apocalyptic wasteland, a woman rebels against a tyrannical ruler in search for her homeland with the aid of a group of female prisoners, a psychotic worshiper, and a drifter named Max. Which I would argue he was also a prisoner, not so much a drifter, but that was just my personal takeaway.
That's probably coming from the original movies.
Probably coming from the originals, yeah. So, what else has our director done, Samuel?
So, George Miller is a fascinating director. I knew his name, and I knew that he was associated with Mad Max, so I assumed he's done a bunch of action stuff. Not so much. So, he has 12 credits. 4 of them are the Mad Max movies. He also did the Twilight Zone movie back in the day. He also did both Babe films and both Happy Feet films.
Which is just the funniest thing in the world
to
me.
So, he has a very interesting and diverse resume.
I I love thinking about how much I loved Happy Feet and the fact that I watched it like 4 times in 24 hours one day, and then watching Mad Max thinking it's the exact same person is mm-hmm. the most insane yep. thing in the world to me.
He's an Australian director, so I think that's why he hasn't done as much big Hollywood stuff, but you know, all the Mad Max films I believe are filmed in Australia.
Well, yeah, and that's a big thing, and a lot of these like facts I found is a lot of Australians.
I tell you what, George Miller has a thing for, if that's the case, he has a thing for really damaged outcasts.
Oh, yeah.
As his protagonist. That seems to be a very reoccurring theme.
It just cracks me up that he did Babe.
Dude,
like, Happy Feet, yes, but Babe of all things. He did both the Babe
movies.
Both the Babe.
Yep, yep, yep.
The wrong one. So he's worked in the art department. He worked on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Lost in Space, Highlander 2, and then, of course, Mad Max. So we did find the right person. That's Brendan McCarthy. He is... he's done a lot as far as just like animation, working in the art department, working as a writer. Art department looks like his biggest.
Yeah, this is the
like,
only film
here.
He's written.
Yeah, that's the only thing he's ever like written. And then we had Nick Boy. Here we go.
Nicholas Duris.
Yeah. This boy. Yeah, so he wrote a bunch of Mad Max. He was a grease rat, actually, in the original Mad Max, it looks like. And then he wrote for this one. He wrote for The Wasteland. And then he acted in The Heartbreak Kid. He's done a lot of acting. Let me see if there's like anything big on here of his
Jigsaw.
That he did. He did Jigsaw. He did... he hasn't done like a whole ton of huge stuff, it looks like, as an actor. Let's see. Writing, yeah, it's just been like Mad Max and then a untitled Furiosa spinoff that George Miller did that I do not know anything about at
all.
Well,
those are both in pre-production there,
yeah,
so
yeah,
he's
yeah,
writing
yeah.
the
so
scripts for them.
Those
are going to come out eventually.
Moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And yeah, so y'all want to go ahead and jump right into this?
Let's do this.
All right, so.
All right, first things first, can we just talk about how Tom Hardy ran in the beginning of that film? He ran like he had to take a big old poop.
Okay, so this is a problem that I have. This is my biggest issue with the film. They did a weird thing with the editing where everything was like ever so slightly sped up, and it made all of the action look like stop motion, and it creeped me out the whole time.
So there was actually a point, and this was something that I was telling Sam Marie about a little bit before we started. So, there is a moment, and I looked it up. This is a real moment, but there's no, like, articles or anything on it. But people have talked about it, so I know it's, like, it's real. It exists. But there is a moment after, if you remember when, like, I don't know if something blew up near him and he goes deaf for, like, a second and he lands on the ground and then he whips around and, like, kicks someone in the face. They did a boomerang edit effect on that where he rolls over and it's a boomerang effect where it takes him back to the ground and then back up to kick. And it's not him winding up. It's a boomerang. Like, it's straight up, they use that weird editing on that moment right after he goes deaf. I want to go back just to that moment and watch it again. But I looked it up, and it's like, on Google as Mad Max Fury Road deaf boomerang edit. Like, it's a straight-up thing.
I definitely did not notice
it's
that.
It's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen.
Tom Hardy, like, in the beginning of that film, I noticed it especially in, like, the sewer scene. Like... He's just like, he's not even running. He's like bobbing on both feet. It's like a penguin, dude. It's
it was very
nuts.
Weird.
Yeah, apparently
also,
the editing.
You go first.
No, I mean, apparently the editing, and I'll talk about it a little bit more. The editing was all done by George Miller's wife, I think.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and he talked to, and he explained why he specifically sought her out to do it because she had never edited an action movie before, but I'll go into that in a little bit.
Yeah. Can we also talk about how poorly written, like, Immortum was?
Oh my gosh, yes.
He was such a trash villain, dude.
Which, by the way, just a quick moment for the actor who played Immortan Joe. He did pass away, like, pretty recently. And he actually, he's played a villain twice in this franchise. He played Immortan Joe, and then he played Toe Cutter back in the original movies. So just, a moment of respect for that guy. You know, he's done great work. Unfortunately, his villain just wasn't written very well.
Yeah.
I mean, he did a good
he
job.
He did a fantastic
yeah.
job as
Immortan
Joe. He just he wasn't given anything to work with. Like,
no.
Well, and I think that's... So I think maybe part of why that was, because I didn't really have an issue with the character. And I think maybe part of why that is because the focus the focus was so much on Furiosa and on the girls mm-hmm. that I think the assumption is we all know villains like that. So I don't think they felt the need to give him a lot because we all know people like that. There are power hungry people who are gonna be like that. And I think that's part of why they did it that way is because they felt like maybe they didn't need to flesh him out. And because they wanted to focus so much on Furiosa and on the girls.
Well, and
I mean, even Max feels like a side character in this
movie.
Yeah,
and I get, and like, I totally get all that. And trust me, I'm all about a good, like, girl power message, man. Like, at the, like the ending was great. I loved just, like, them literally rising to the top. And I was like, hell yeah, man, women, all right. But it was kind of, like, not a great payoff when he, like, you know, spoiler alert, when he dies, because I was like, I don't know. I wanted to want him dead more. I wanted him dead, but like I didn't know a whole lot about him, and so I was just like, you know, why does he even have this society? Because it seems like, you know, it was all very confusing. Because it's like he wants to have like a healthy child, and like all his children have turned out having like weird illnesses and like ailments and all this stuff. And he's like, he's desperate for one that's good, but why? Because that one could overthrow him. So why does he want that? And like, you know, why are all of them turning out sick? Is it because of the way that he's running the civilization? Like,
well, because so he's about
he
to die,
way?
So I think he wants somebody to take over and for his line to continue.
I mean, I would argue because
I mean, in the very beginning, well, but
the
he is,
thing,
but he's also dumb as bricks.
The only thing that showed with Rictus was that he just had a little like nose tube, and that was to show you that he had some kind of ailment. But he never acted like he was impaired.
No,
like yes, he was dumb, but like. He didn't even have, like, what seemed to be, like, mental issues or anything.
He had, like, a weird, like, modern-day face mash thing happening.
Yeah, but that was it. And I was just like, this guy could have been his, like, other takeover dude, and it probably would have been exactly the same. Like,
right.
Nothing would have even been changed.
Well, and that's one thing I think that kind of what really stinks about, I mean, that's not to say it stinks. It doesn't ruin the movie too bad, but George Miller definitely hyper-focuses on the women and Furiosa and Max a lot, and it doesn't really give like a lot of room for the other characters to really shine, because like even one of the girls, even like the main girl that he was like the pregnant one mm-hmm. who was pregnant throughout the entirety of the film, like her arc comes to a close super early and
mm-hmm.
super fast.
Yeah.
And it's like, and like you're inferred all this stuff that happens, and like we don't even get like we are to assume that she passed, but
we don't even get her final death moment.
No.
Like we see her like collapsing, but then he's like, your wife's dying, and then they run in, and like all you see is her stomach. You never even see like her face as she's dying, and I'm just like, so this wasn't a like payoff or like a dramatic moment or anything.
No.
But even the girls, I felt like I didn't get a whole lot from, mm-hmm. except for maybe the one that I felt like I got anything from as far as a story was Platinum Blonde Girl, because of her like friendship with the Seed Woman. And she is the only one that
it's
I felt like I got any
cute.
Sort of, like,
so
story from.
I'm actually going to disagree when it comes to the death scene. I think that there was a purpose to that, especially with only showing the stomach. Because I think the purpose they were going for was to just reinforce how much Joe did not see them as important or as people. He only cared about them for what they could do for him.
Well,
so
yeah,
he runs in.
He
runs in and the entire focus of on the scene is the baby alive. So I think it's reinforcing something about Morton Joe's character, and I think that's why they did it that way. And I was okay with it.
I mean, I don't know.
I get that.
I was okay with the focus that was placed on Furiosa and not on the bad guys, because again, I felt like I didn't need to know anything more about them because I understood. Again, it's the sort of the tyrants who take over in a power vacuum. But Morton Joe is kind of generic that. And so I felt like I didn't need any more on that because I know what that kind of character is.
Well, see, and granted, you know, it probably would have been a better watch if we had seen the original Mad Max.
That is also true.
That's fair.
But if we had seen the original Mad Max, it might have added more context. But however, going directly into this movie and not having any prior world building to this at all, the world building is not there.
No,
there's
it is not.
Not.
It is not there.
And I think that's where George Miller should have given like a bit more than what he did.
Well, I think the assumption is that if you're going to see this, you've probably seen the other ones.
It might have been. Like I said, we didn't go see this in theaters. We saw it,
you know,
post. 5 years later.
Yeah, yeah. Several years.
But yeah, COVID 2020. For those of you who are carbon dated.
Yes.
But yeah, no, it's again, I think that's where we're losing because to me, what makes a good protagonist is its villains and its sidekicks. And there's just like, Max is a good job for the most part of supporting Furiosa as a side character. But with Immortum Joe, it's like, you just get so little of him. It's hard to sit there and like empathize with a great villain. It's like, yeah, like you said, Samuel, like, yeah, sure. Like he wants it to be defined that, you know, it's the standard dystopian tyrant. But, however, that's all we view him as. Therefore, the payoff of the closing, minus the fantastic cinematic shot, it doesn't have the same payoff whenever he gets brutally murdered. It's just like, that, like, even his son, the mentally ill son, just bites it way after he does.
Mm-hmm.
Like, normally in the order, I mean, you know, granted, like, sure, break the writing stereotypes, do what you must, but, however, it felt like it should have been son, then father, not father, then son gets rolled over by a truck.
Yeah, and I mean, that was, and I can be fine with, you know, this is a story about, you know, just Furiosa and the women and everything that they're doing. I can get behind all that, but I do at least need, even if I'm not going to empathize with Immortum Joe, I at least need to really want him dead. Like for instance, I mean, you know, when she jumps up and she's like, remember me, and like, you know, rips his face off, I'm like, okay, I wanted to be like, yes, when that happened, but I'm like, I haven't really seen him do anything except like turn a water fall on and then turn it off and be like, ah, you guys don't need water. And it's like, but you just gave them water. So like, that's all I've really seen him do. And so like, if I had seen him do something like to her to understand why she's like, remember me, I'm going to rip your face off. Then I would be like, okay, like this is deserved. Like, get him, dude. But like, there just wasn't really that.
It's so weird to me because it's odd. We're given so much, but so little on Furiosa that it's like, we have to like, and maybe George Miller wanted this to be a puzzle piece, but again,
I'll tell you what it feels like to me. And it just kind of clicked in this. And even in terms of the generic villain, Max helping Furiosa turn in, it almost feels like an old serial in terms of like, Max is the hero who comes into a scenario, helps the protagonist of that story complete the mission, and then leaves.
Mm.
It's almost like an old serial with the generic villain, the main character really being more of a side character assisting the protagonist to the means of an end, and then leaving.
Almost Mandalorian-esque.
Yeah, like, yeah, where kind of that old, in, we'll that old spaghetti Western serial type.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, these are based on like comics and everything, which is right. Very obvious when you look at it, because everyone is so specific looking that it had to be based off of like an already visual medium. But
right.
Yeah, so I think that's also part of it, is that they're different, you know, different, you know, with a comic series, you can break things down so much more and get a lot more out of it. Whereas with just a movie, you kind of have to compress everything. So they probably had to throw out, like, a lot of really good, like, character building and, like, you know, revelations right. about different things and just be like, how can we make this really quick? Which, you know, I was happy that they didn't treat the audience like they were stupid and they didn't, like, spoon-feed information like that. Right, that I appreciated. I was like, oh, okay, but you got to have a balance where I still know what's happening, because most of my notes are just questions, like, what's going on? Like, who is this person? Why do I care about this person? Like, right. you know, things like that.
Yeah.
Right. But really quick, I want to actually, like, go through the
right,
plot.
Right, I was about to say,
so, yeah. So, it starts, the world has become a desert wasteland, and civilization has collapsed as a result of wars and dwindling resources. Max Rokitansky, A survivor haunted by visions of deceased people is captured by the War Boys, the army of the tyrannical Immortan Joe, and taken to the Joe's citadel, not the Joe. Max is imprisoned and used as a blood bag for a sick war boy called Nux. Meanwhile, Imperator Furiosa, one of Joe's lieutenants, is sent in her armored war rig to collect gasoline and ammunition. When she diverts course, Joe realizes that his five wives, women selected for breeding, are missing and are fleeing with her.
So let's pause and let's talk about that whole bit at the Citadel. I loved the very strange mixture of, like, it's like Norse mythology, but with, like, V8 engines. It was so weird.
What do you mean?
Like, they were worshipping the V8.
Oh, yeah, Valhalla.
Like, the road to Valhalla, but then, like, their gods were V8s, V8 engines. Mm-hmm. It's like,
no, that was the whole thing with when they did the little, I think it was this, is that it was supposed to look like a V8 engine and also be like a V for Valhalla.
Yeah.
So, like, when they would just, like, do this as though they were literally, like, worshipping the engines, it was insane. Yeah, their whole society was crazy.
It was like a weird, like, hybrid pagan.
Yeah, I was watching it, and I was like, this is, like, beyond most dystopian stuff. Because, like, most dystopian stuff I think of as, like, more Hunger Games or Divergent, which is where, you know, everyone sort of has, like, a job, and, you know, they stick with that one thing. They don't really break the mold because they want to keep the peace or whatever. And then there are people suffering, and there are people who aren't. Which is still true in this. You know, there's people suffering, and there's people who aren't. But my question, why was everybody sick? Why was everyone sick? Like,
well, maybe because they were constantly spraying spray paint into their mouths.
Well, apparently, I actually found something out about that. So that's something I was going to read later, but since you brought it up, I'm going to read it now. So when I looked up some of the fun facts about it, that's actually something that has to do with his whole Australian thing. So they say that this practice is like, so the actor actually said this, the actor who played Immortan Joe. He said that this whole thing where the war boys think is just ritualistic and it's just to, like, make them, you know, chromed and ready for Valhalla, it's actually infused with a euphoric drug, and it keeps the war boys high while they're going into battle for him. But they think it's just a ritual. They don't know that. And so when they spray it, they're, like, inhaling these fumes to keep themselves high so that they'll just jump in and die for, like, no reason and not even question it. And apparently this has to do with, like, chroming, and chrome is, like, a slang term in Australia for, like, inhalant abuse and, like, all this stuff, so they use that. And then he said he got the idea from a filmmaker who made a Vietnam War documentary called Frontline, where the soldiers would prepare for battle by suspending little jade Buddha figurines from their mouths with, like, little straps. And so it's, like, so he got the idea from that. So that's, like, a real thing. Like, it's not, like, just spray paint. It's, like, drugs. Like, it's straight-up drugs. But of course they don't explain that. I only figured that out by looking in the trivia. Yeah. But yeah.
Also, thank God Max was a universal donor.
Thank God they introduced that early, and we knew that was a thing, so the Furiosa wouldn't die.
Comes back later, y'all. Foreshadowing.
Real quick foreshadowing. Yeah, that was.
Although I didn't again, and I think some of this just comes from the world, from us not understanding
maybe,
it.
Maybe, yeah.
Or maybe they just didn't explain it well. Again, going along with the why are they sick thing, I never got why the war boys needed constant blood infusions.
Yeah, why? Like, because he was like, my war boy is running on empty. So that implies to me that he needed blood constantly, and so does everybody need blood.
Well, but also,
constantly?
Once they're disconnected, Nux never gets any more blood for the rest of the time, so shouldn't he be like...
Yeah, he should be dying.
Yeah,
like,
but
why is
it
he
never
fine?
Comes back. I don't know. It was a very weird thing. It was a plot device to get Max on to be a Hood Award. Which was a very good shot.
Yeah, that was one thing where I was like, hold on, why? I wrote, why is blood needed? Because, like, other than just him being, like, kind of shaky and, like, everything, he looked the same as every other war boy. So I was like, he doesn't even look worse. Like, he looks the same except that he's skinny. And I was like, I don't understand what's wrong with him. Why does he need blood? Yeah, I don't know. Like, and they're just humans. Like, they're not a weird subspecies.
I don't know. Yes, let's keep going with the plot.
Okay, so Joe leads his army in pursuit of Furiosa, calling on the aid of nearby Gastown and the Bullet Farm, which I never understood at all what those two places
were. It was just
were.
Two, I think it was just two other settlements.
Well, that much I gathered, but, like, when they arrived, I had no idea who they were. They would just, someone would ride up on a big car and be like, woohoo, and, like, and they would be,
it was not
like,
explained.
I had no idea it was them. But yeah, so Nux joins the pursuit with Max strapped to his car, which the whole time I was having so much anxiety about the fact that, like, the only way he was essentially staying alive was just a tiny little tube going across the chain. I was like, ugh! The whole blood thing freaked me out. But, and a battle ensues between the war rig and Joe's forces. Furiosa drives into a sandstorm, evading her pursuers, except Nux, who attempts to sacrifice himself to destroy the rig.
Plot armor.
Yes, exactly. Max escapes and restrains Nux, but the car is destroyed.
All right, so I have a couple of things here. First off, and this is just a general thing, why is everyone not wearing any clothes in the desert?
I don't know, because that's the worst thing.
That drives me crazy when movies do that, and they do that all the time.
That's the worst thing
you
can do in
the desert.
The
only party that we ever see fully clothed, minus the females at the very end, like the old lady clan, mm-hmm. we just see the ones that Furiosa made a deal with. Those are the yeah. only ones.
Like
that
they're
are fully
wearing
clothed.
Proper desert, like full body coverings
yeah.
that are loose. That's what you wear in the desert.
Like, they look like yeah. Tusken Riders from Star Wars. Yep. Like
I thought they are you talking about the sand people? Because yeah, yes, right. I literally wrote yeah. down, are these the sand people? Yeah. Because they looked the exact same as the yeah. sand people.
It's the first shot you see them in, they have like goggles on. And it's like
yes.
So Star Wars? I'm gonna have a couple of nitpicks that y'all are probably not gonna love too much because it's truck stuff.
Oh my goodness.
She kept flipping. So there's a switch on the stick.
By the way, Samuel has a CDL license.
There's a
yeah,
flip
so
that
he's
you
gonna,
switch
he's gonna drop
on
some
the
mad
trucks
car knowledge
to
on
go
you right
from
now.
Sixth gear to seventh gear. And she kept flipping it when they were already going like 50 miles an hour. Like, oh, flip this and you go faster. You flip that when you're going like 15 miles an hour. And they kept doing it all movie and it drove me crazy.
Yo, dude, this isn't your average Joe semi. This is like
this
your
is
dystopian.
Your Morton Joe semi.
This is your dystopian semi, dude.
They kept doing it over and over. Also, there was one shot where her gun definitely had an orange tip.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for sure.
That. I didn't see that
yeah,
at all.
She was holding it over the steering wheel, and it was just right in the camera's face, just an
nice.
Orange tip on the gun.
I didn't see that at all.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no. I remember with the whole, you know, him trying to sacrifice him, like, a lot of the way things were shot, I was usually kind of able to understand what was happening, but not always. And so when Max went out and sort of, like, I don't know, tackled him to stop him from ramming into the rig and blowing it up or whatever he was going to do to blow up the rig, I was like, I was kind of watching it and was like, how did that even happen? Like, I didn't fully understand any of the stunts that occurred. Like,
so there's another nitpick for me there. So the fuel that they use throughout the whole movie is very clearly diesel because it's green, which is diesel. Diesel does not explode like gasoline. Diesel is a very slow-burning fuel. So every time they tried to have explosions or they tried to cause an explosion using diesel, it's like, that's not how any of this works.
Didn't he also open up another valve as well, though? Because there was the diesel. There was the diesel. He popped one valve, which I think was the diesel. And then I think he either popped his...
Well, but so you're not going to be mixing gasoline and diesel in a car. I don't know.
Well, I mean, if you're going on... Think about it. Nux was on a suicide run. Like,
yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Nux straight up looked at the camera and said, "Witness me." And then, in classic Nux fashion, that didn't happen until like the very end of the show.
Yeah,
that kept making me laugh. Like, I mean, we're gonna get to it, but I died when he tried to like do it for Joe and instantly failed. And I was like, "That's hilarious."
Nux was the best.
Nux was
great.
Nux
my favorite character.
I really liked Nux. Nux was awesome.
Nux, I don't know the actor, but the actor
Nicholas Holt.
He's been on a
yes,
lot of
yes,
iconic
yes.
films. Yeah. He's
no,
a very popular young actor.
He was good. I liked him a lot. But I think we passed something that is very important. And it can be summed up in one word. Moo.
Oh, gosh.
Did we forget about that
dude.
Scene?
That
we passed that scene. There
yeah,
is a scene.
We're
going
to head on past this scene.
No, you're no. not. There is a scene where a bunch of women who have, like, I'm assuming just given birth, I hope, are being milked by, like, machines. And apparently
it's so
this is something that they, like, drink around the area and they refer to as mother's milk. It's really disturbing. I don't like that they just drink human milk. But, and the son just, like, takes a glass of this milk from this woman, from Immortan Joe, drinks it, nods, and looks at his dad and goes, moo.
And that's
and
it.
And that's the scene.
No explanation.
They never explain, like, what was that? Is that, like, a code word? is that like a cue that says like, oh, this is like really good? Like, it was just so random and weird, and I had to talk about it. So we can move forward now.
Yes. Let's keep moving forward.
Yeah, no, we don't want to dwell on that any longer than we have
to. Okay, so after the storm, Max finds Furiosa repairing the rig, accompanied by the wives, which, let's just listen to these names for a second. Capable, Cheeto, Toast, the Dag, and the splendid Angarad, who is heavily pregnant with Joe's child. Before we move forward, what are these names? I need to know.
They're dystopian names.
But why? Why is someone named Capable, someone is named Splendid Angarad, and someone's named Cheeto? Tell me why.
Honestly, I feel like if Mort and Joe just like saw a Cheeto bag for the first time ever, and it's just like,
this is a good name for my next breeder.
Honestly, it was. Please tell me Cheeto was the redhead.
No, Cheeto was the girl who tried to turn back. She was the one who tried to go back. The redhead, I think, was I think that was Toast.
I don't even know.
It was either Toast or the Dag, because Capable, I believe, was the platinum blonde.
I couldn't keep up with any of their names.
I kept up with Cheeto because I wrote it down and said, Cheeto WTF. Like, what am I looking at? And then the other girl was Splendid, and one was Capable, and then there's Cheeto and Toast. And I was like, I do not understand these names or why they are here.
Yeah, also, I feel like as long as he has been hooked up, giving the blood transfusion, and then he wakes up after passing out, he should, like, barely be able to walk.
I know. He was still able to, like, run and do all these crazy things, like pour sweat and not pass out when he has been literally giving blood for hours.
Maybe it's a two-way transfusion.
Oh my gosh, he's getting all his crappy blood back? Like, ugh.
It's just a cycle.
That's terrible. I really hope not.
It's like, hey guys, recycled blood.
No, I was so shocked. I was like, why are they not showing him, like, about to pass out? Because we see later that it is possible to start dying and passing out from loss of blood, as we see with Furiosa, and he has to, like, drag her up. But again, he just performed another blood transfusion, so why can he carry her and not one of the other, like, women just, like, help her up? I don't understand.
Max is a drifter, dude.
Max is a drifter, man.
Oh, and he was a cop, remember? They said that.
He was a cop?
He was a cop.
I missed that.
That's one thing that kind of, like, made me really upset, is that, like, we get so much and so little on Furiosa. We're given, like, a chunk of Max's backstory, and then that's it.
Well, again, I think Max in particular, the idea is that you would know the character. And then Furiosa, again, they're actually planning on doing a prequel movie to tell her backstory.
Which I was super interested in her backstory. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So as long as it's played by the same woman, because she was amazing.
I think they're doing somebody else.
Dang it.
If they're going to do, like, you know, like Lord of the Rings style, where they fill in, like, all the blanks with other movies, like, I don't know. I feel like there needs to be an order about that. I kind of never been a fan of... It can work for, like, books and novels.
What, you don't like doing original and then prequel and then sequel?
That's weird. I'll tell you what, I hate it for video games, too, because Borderlands did the exact same thing. They went original, like, what happens at...
Everybody has to copy George Lucas.
Yeah, you gotta go middle, then number one. Then way back here, and then you got to go way back here and do something, and then you got to jump a little bit forward and do something else, but not all the way forward, and yeah.
Well, at least George Lucas wrote that better than George Miller did in this
one. Ooh, shots fired from John over here.
I'm going to say it.
We're George Lucas defenders in this house.
Okay, whatever.
Well,
I guess
moving forward, so your girl's pregnant, very pregnant, with Joe's child, which, for a very pregnant woman, she is very active. Like, she was doing all kinds of stunts out there, just
that,
with
that
a full-on
baby
belly.
I don't know how that baby wasn't...
Wait, who knows? Look, all we know is that the baby didn't survive.
All
we don't know
is
why.
The baby was stillborn, but we do not know how it died. So we don't know if it was because of all the stuff she was doing. We don't know if it's because she died or she was dying. Like, who knows? But moving forward, so Max steals the rig, but reluctantly agrees to let Furiosa and the wives accompany him after Furiosa shows that she's the only one who knows the correct combination to bypass the rig's kill switches. What are kill switches? Can you explain that to me, Mr. Truckman?
That is not something that's on any normal trucks.
Oh, well, okay.
That is a dystopian
normal
truck.
You turn the key and it starts.
It's a dystopian truck.
Okay, I wasn't sure if that was like a real thing on like big trucks or something. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. So, Nux climbs on the rig as it leaves and attempts to kill Furiosa, but is overcome and thrown out because he can't succeed at anything, apparently.
His chain got snagged on the railing of the tankard.
Also, we missed an amazing line, best line of the movie, which is, I got his boot.
Oh, yeah! Best line of the movie. He's trying so bad to get some credit. The guy leans out, like, the window after Nux is getting all this credit for, like, being like, I know, like, where they are and, like, what's going on. And the other guy's, well, I got his boots. Like, trying so hard to get on the tail, like,
the whole entire, like, butt of the joke is that, like, Nux is, like, holding, like, a piece of, the breeder's claw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's like, I've been on the rig. And, like, his, like, old partner that he, like, that got, like, thrown into the dirt, like, cops back up. Like, it's funny because I don't think we noticed it, but the same guy that rode with Nux each time pops up three different times till he dies at the very end of the very end of the movie. And I'm like, and he's like so desperately trying to prove himself. And it's even from the get-go, he's like, I want to drive. The Nux like rips the wheel away from him. And Nux is just constantly stealing this poor guy's limelight.
But it's so funny because Nux is also terrible at everything. And so he's stealing the limelight only to fail instantly. And it's very
mediocre.
Mediocre.
And Mortem Joe is like, you will have a place in Valhalla. And literally, man gets tossed onto the tankard and his chain gets caught in the railing.
Oh my goodness.
We don't even get a close-up on how that happens.
It is so funny.
But he just gets ripped off the tank.
You know what? Dash of realism there. Gotta love it. Gotta appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I thought that was hilarious. That was one moment where I laughed out loud. I was like, this guy instantly failed.
And honestly, this whole chase sequence, I don't know. It might have been my favorite. It was a really good
chase
sequence.
Which one? The whole movie's a chase sequence.
Well, this particular one after, because at this point, they've already done everything with the dirt bikers.
Yes, I'm sure that happens. Go on.
Yep, and then this whole chase sequence, that results in whatever her long-winded name is, death.
Oh, that one.
Yeah,
okay.
I think it was my favorite chase sequence.
I think that's the one where I was writing down notes, and that was one thing I discovered, is that if you look away from this movie for half a second, you miss something.
Yeah.
I call a lot of what George Miller's shots were, I call them Michael Bay shots. Because every other shot had pyrotechnics.
I don't know. I wouldn't go that far. That's a little rough to George Miller.
Hey, give the first Transformer movie its props. Although it was funny, they throw
a spear into a car and it explodes.
That was funny.
Well, no. And I mean, that makes sense because if you look at it, they're not spears. They are like gunpowder-wrapped tips.
Yeah, which the more you look at it, the more it becomes...
Makes sense.
The first couple of times it happens, it's like, wait, what?
It's like what's happening?
Well, yeah. Okay, so to move on, so Nux is overcome and thrown out, and he's picked up by Joe's army. Furiosa drives through a biker gang-controlled canyon.
Yep. Yeah,
that's where we were talking about, having bartered a deal for safe passage. I did not know it was, like, safe passage or what through there. Mm. I did not know what they were bartering for. She showed up, and she was like, I've got the gasoline, and I thought it had something to do with the women. I thought it was like she's going to pass them on, but then she was like, I have to be here alone, so you guys have to hide. So I was like...
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Okay, so what happened is she had that big pod on the back that was hooked up. It was like she was pulling doubles. She was pulling the second sort of trailer behind her that was a big pod, and that was full of gasoline. And so she had bartered that she could drive the war rig through their territory if she brought this pod of gasoline for them.
Okay. See, that makes sense. They did not explain
They
that.
Were just upset. They explained it pretty well.
I got none of it. I was sitting there writing down, like, what is this interaction? Like,
it's a brief dialogue that you get, like, before you realize that Max is actually a civilized person.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a brief discussion that him and Furiosa have. Then at that point, he just keeps control of the situation. You don't really get to see that till he eventually, like, saws off.
Max just flips from being crazy to being completely sane in 2 seconds.
Like, yeah. It's like
his character arc happens really fast. His character arc is instantaneous.
It just turns on dime. So
yes. So then the gang turns on her upon seeing Joe's army arriving, forcing her and the group to flee while the bikers detonate the canyon walls to block Joe. Max and Furiosa fight off the pursuing bikers as Joe's car breaks through the blockade, which, wow. Joe catches up with the war rig.
Not breaks, climbs it.
Yes, he climbs it. Joe catches up with the war rig, allowing Nux to board with the intent of attacking Furiosa again. He fails, to the disappointment of Joe. As the rig escapes, Angerad falls off, trying to help Max, and is fatally run over by Joe's car.
Okay, can we talk about that for a second, though, to be honest? Like, how does that chick come out of that intact?
Oh, yeah, no, she had, like, two cuts on her, yeah. And that was it. She had, like, dirt, and then, like, a cut here, and a cut on, like, her leg, and then the gunshot from earlier.
Like,
and those were the only wounds on her body, and I was like, she would have been, like, splattered.
Like I would get not it.
Have been intact.
Like, I get it, sure, like, the dune buggy was, like, raised on, like, was on, like, a raised frame, but also, like, you are, like, crashing into hard, solid rock and sand.
And going, then getting run over.
Going God knows how fast. And getting, like, yanked back and then getting, and, like, especially if it's, like, going by what Max said and just saying, like, she went under the tire.
Which I thought Max tire was lying for a second because I don't think I saw her actually go under the wheels. I did think she was dead because she hit the ground that hard, and I was like, she's probably dead anyway. But I didn't see her go under the wheels, so when he said it, I was like, oh my gosh, is he lying? Is she going to come back, and that's going to be, like, something that is a plot device to, like, turn everybody against, like Max and all the women hate him or something? But no, then she ended up dying for real, and I was like, oh, okay. But that was a whole weird thing.
Yeah, she had, like, one big contortion on, like, on, like, her side, and that was about it.
That was it. Like, and other than that, she was perfectly intact. And that was,
like, as, like, I think Joe's kid was holding her or something like that. It's like...
No, it was Joe.
Oh, Joe was...
Joe was holding her.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But he was holding her really weird. Like, he didn't hold her, like, baby hold. He held her, like, by a leg.
And like,
basically just by, like, a leg and, like, upper arm. And so she's, like, fully just dangling on the... Like, dangling half her body down. And he's just, like, moaning and screaming, like, go after them. And I'm like, oh, yikes. Yeah, that was a weird moment.
Death made no sense.
Yeah, no. She should have had a lot more wrong with her. And as we know, in this movie, they do not worry about gore. So, like, I don't know why.
But also, it wasn't as intense as I thought it was going to be. Like, I don't get why this movie had to be rated R.
I don't get it either.
Like, this movie could have very easily been PG-13. I don't understand, like, why it was rated R.
If they cursed, it wasn't heavy.
No, it really wasn't.
I think it was a matter of the nudity scene.
There was never actual nudity.
There was just, like, a hoochie, like, right there. Like,
If you pay close enough attention, that milkroom scene.
I was not paying close attention to the milkroom scene.
We all know,
John.
Like, you were paying close attention to the milkroom. What does
that
have to
do with anything, dude? That has nothing to do with it. It's a milkroom scene.
No.
They were everywhere.
I didn't notice that. Either way,
couldn't avoid that.
It would have been very easy to make this PG-13.
Yes, it could have been PG-13, but
And I mean, plus borderline, they were.
The only thing that I was like, the only things that I was like, okay, I think it would have had to be rated R for this was her sliding down the rope with just open hoo ha, where I was like, that's gotta hurt, and then his face getting literally ripped off. Those were the only things where I was like,
well, but even his face getting ripped off, they never actually fully showed it. They showed it start to happen, then they cut away, and then they never actually shot on his face after that.
Oh, I thought they showed it, but
they didn't show it.
It was like a frame,
right? They showed enough where they probably could have gotten away with slight editing to make it PG-13. Right.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know. It was weird to me. Let's continue.
Yeah, let's continue. So, So as the rig... Oh, no, we already talked about that. So, Furiosa explains to Max that they are escaping to the Green Place, an idyllic land she remembers from her childhood. Capable finds Nux... Oh, so Capable's the redhead, not the blonde. Okay. So Capable finds Nux hiding in the rig and consoles him as he laments his like fourth failure of the movie.
The weirdest love arc.
Yeah, so this arc... Like, what? I really wanted to talk about this. So many of the relationships were so quickly and, like, not really well written, like, when they were formed. And this was one of them, where they had one conversation where she kind of lays down on the floor with him as he's just, like, in a self-pity, like, nightmare. And she's just like, oh, I mean, I think you failed so that you could be here with me and, like, with all of us. And I'm like, why the fuck do you even like him? He looks gross. Like, why are you into him? And he's also worshiping, like, the bad guy that used to, like, essentially rape you, like, all the time. Like,
she just absolutely totally forgave this dude.
Well, that was also
part of the war boy part. It's like...
Like, this is something that I know we've talked about a little bit. I was so thrown by how quickly she just accepted him as, like, both a friend and, like, it seemed like a future lover when, like, he is not only working, like, when she has been... you know, I'm sure not consensually, you know, breeded with for a long time. And this is one of the guys that literally works for that guy. And, like, was just now trying to attack all of them. And she's just like, oh, it's fine. Come be my boyfriend now. And I'm just like, this makes no sense. I feel like she would be like, uh-uh, stay away from me. Like, no way. And that was so weird to me. I was just like, this relationship came out of left field. Yeah. Like, nowhere. Yeah. And I think it was just so it could have that emotional moment when he does die. Mm-hmm. Where, like, there's, you know, you can have that dramatic model, like, watching him die. And it's, like, beautiful woman watches him sacrifice himself. Like, all this stuff.
So weird.
Yeah, there were a lot of, like, very quickly formed relationships that I was like, I don't know if this was earned.
A lot of fast-paced trust.
Yeah.
Yo, can we also talk about how, like, brutal those chastity belts looked?
Oh my goodness,
they looked like closed bear traps. Yes, like, how was that even?
They were essentially, I don't know if you know anything about, I hope you don't, there's something called, I think it's like the it's something like the pair of agony or something awful, and it's a punishment, like it's a torture device specifically, like, I mean, it can be used for men too, but like it's specifically for women. And it's something like that, that it looks like a pear, but it goes up and then, like, spikes come out of it. And it's this horrible, like, medieval torture device, basically. And I remember when I looked at those chastity belts, I was like, this looks like that. Like, it looks like those are, like I hope those things couldn't move.
But it's because weird because...
They were just like that, so I'm assuming it was to block other men, so that if anyone else tried to get in there, they would get shredded. But I really hope that's what it was, because if they went right. Up, oh, those poor women. Women.
And, like, I think I agree with that. It was more so of a deterrent for other men.
Yes.
Because we don't see it on pregnant lady, because pregnant lady already pregnant.
Right, yeah.
So it's like, she don't need one. But it's like, I think
plus it might not fit her, like... It might have fit her before and not now.
Yeah, but no, it was... That looked painful. But anyways, continue on with the, general plot.
Yeah, so that night, the rig gets stuck in mud. Furiosa and Max slow Joe's forces with mines, but Joe's ally, the bullet farmer, continues pursuit. Nux helps Max free the rig, which I did not understand that whole freeing the rig sequence, like, at all.
Oh, so that actually made sense. So
okay, yes, explain it to me.
I mean, it was pretty self-explanatory. So when you get stuck in mud like that, you have to have something for the tires to get friction on, otherwise they spin out. So they were putting metal plates under the tires, trying to help them get friction, and then they were using the winch to pull the truck to the...
To
add another level of force to try and get the truck out.
I did not I think my problem was I didn't see the metal plates go under. So I literally thought...
A scene of them putting it under?
Yep.
I thought those were just more of those mines.
They were putting those there to try and get traction.
Okay.
For the tires.
Well, that makes more sense then.
Yeah.
Okay.
So all that. Although another nitpick. The truck runs out of gas at one point. Remember that? And they have to refill it.
I think
It's pretty soon after she dies. I think it's when they have a conversation there.
Yeah.
Diesel truck runs out of gas. It's going to be almost. It's going to be 30 to 45 minutes before you can get it going again.
Oh, really?
Diesel engines do not start up right after you. drain the gas tank. I've had to sit there and wait. Many times.
Let's remember, they call it guzzling, so who's to say it's actually diesel?
I don't know. It looks like diesel. It's green like diesel.
I mean, it's green like
it
diesel.
Trucks like that are going to run on diesel. They're not going to run on gasoline.
I mean, for
they're
instance,
gonna be
you know, like,
diesel.
Vibranium and stuff, it's like the same
I mean,
color,
maybe
like,
it's the, maybe it's something different. It's entirely possible. It's dystopian. I guess I shouldn't nitpick it too much. It's just, it drives me crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, everything with them getting out of the mud, that was realistic. That's okay. How you would do that.
Also, like,
I just missed the metal
her
plates,
pushing
yeah.
on it would do absolutely nothing.
Oh, I know. When she went to push on it, I was like, girl, what do you think
was, like,
you're going to do?
That was like some Superman moment. Like, I don't know what that was about. Like,
no, and then it didn't even show her having any super strength because nothing changed. Like, she went and pushed on it and nothing changed. Mm. And I was like, well, at least that's realistic that nothing changed when she pushed on it.
Can we also talk about how pointless the death of Bulletproof was? Or the Bullet Farmer?
I don't even remember the bullet farmer. Who was that?
He was the guy.
Well, they
he,
never actually showed
well,
him
no,
die.
No, well, no, it's heavily implied.
Yeah.
But the bullet farmer is the
guy shooting.
One of the three. Going crazy. I'm guessing Immortum Joe and, like, the different settlements are all brothers. Because I could have swore the fat guy called the other guy brother.
Yeah.
Or they're, like, you know, the fraternity.
They were some
brothers.
Kind of family.
Furiosa, yeah. That's the one who Furiosa shoots him. Or, like, shoots his scope and, like, the glass goes into his eyes and he's blinded.
Yes.
He's all like, hold the flare up. And he's like, I am. It's right in front of your face. And he's
oh.
all like, ah!
Yeah. Oh, that
yeah,
guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, talk about how lucky the shots are and, like, how easy. Like, I get, like, you have, like, the other crew driving, but, like, come on. Like, you're firing that blindly, like. I don't know. That,
I mean, there were a lot of cool moments in this. I mean, I personally really liked, and I think I just liked the, like, badassness of it, where she takes her gun, puts it on Max to level it, and just goes, don't breathe, and fires it,
that was a good shot.
Somebody. I was like, okay, that was pretty good.
That was
like,
dope. That was dope.
that was a cool moment.
But, like, also, like, what was up with, like, that heroics moment? Like, is it just me, or does, like, Max feel like the deus machina of this entire movie? Like, anytime shit's going sideways, Max magically fixes it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that's basically his whole purpose in the movie is to help Furiosa.
Yes.
Anything Furiosa can't do, Max does.
Yes. Which she can do a lot of things, but sometimes, you know, mistakes happen.
Let's continue.
So Furiosa shoots and blinds the bullet farmer. Max leaves to confront the bullet farmer and his men, returning with guns and ammunition and covered in blood. So we didn't get to see any of that, and it happened pretty fast.
Probably was a cut scene.
Yeah.
More than likely.
Most likely, yeah. I know he's already showed up, so I'm going to go ahead and talk about the guitar boy, because he was my all-time favorite in the whole movie. When he showed up, I out loud laughed because I have never seen something that looks more like a 13-year-old's dream than having a giant truck with spikes all over it with a metal-ass guitar player on the front that can blow flames out of his guitar, and he's just, like, wailing a guitar solo the whole time they're going. I was losing my mind. And it reminded me, I feel like I've said this to you guys before. I don't know if I have. But this may have been to the D&D group. I don't know. Have y'all seen Hot Wheels World Race?
Nope.
No.
I'm gonna throw that in the hat because we gotta watch it, and I'm sure it doesn't hold up. So I was saying, well, first off, we gotta watch Hot Wheels World Race. It's not gonna hold up, and it's gonna be great. But it reminded me, watching all these cars with just crazy big, like, spikes and, like, you know, huge, like, claw-looking things all over them, and they could just extend these crane weapons out of them. That's literally right out of Hot Wheels World Race, where they could do the exact same thing, where they'd be like, initiate a giant scorpion tail, and a scorpion tail would come out the back of the car and start stabbing the other cars. It was amazing. So that was killing me. But this guy is the number one. He is my favorite in the entire thing, the guitar player. And I have information about him later because I had to know more. But he, my favorite moment of the movie I will talk about when we get to it. But he is by far my favorite. Every time he came on screen, I just started smiling. Like, I've never been happier to see a character than seeing him. But anyway, so they drive through the war rig overnight. They drive it overnight through a swampland and desert, coming across a naked woman the next day. Max suspects a trap, though Furiosa approaches the woman and states her history and clan affiliation. The woman summons her clan, the Vuvalini, who recognize Furiosa as one of their own, who was kidnapped as a child. And this is the painful shot that you and I both said, ow, as soon as it happened.
The amount of rope burn.
Oh my gosh. Because
oh
she's completely
gosh.
Naked, and she's coming down this, like, normal rope. It's not like a nice, like, soft rope. It's like a normal rope.
Yeah,
and she's like sliding down it like it's a fireman's pole with no underwear. I watched that and was like, ugh! Like, that would be such that would be terrible.
From that height and that long?
It was terrible. And she just keeps walking like it was nothing. I'm like, do you just have, like, metal down there? I don't understand what's happening.
Dystopia, dude.
Yeah, dude, dystopia. They got metal hoo-ha's in here. That's one of the upgrades that the wives get. So Furiosa is devastated to learn that the swampland they passed was indeed the Green Place, now uninhabitable. The group then plans to ride across immense salt flats in the hope of finding a new home. Max chooses to stay behind, but after seeing visions of the child he failed to save, he convinces them to return to the undefended
Citadel.
Turns
on a dime.
He turns so fast. Like, straight
hope
up.
Hope is bad. Here's hope.
Exactly. He was like, Also, I'm just gonna say it. Sorry, George Miller. You write some cheesy dialogue, my guy. There were moments when he just kept being like, he would just be like, hope is a mistake. And then later he'd be like, yeah, I'm glad we had hope. Or they'd be like, yeah, this is our plan. What do you think, Nux? And Nux is like, I think it sounds like hope. And I'm just like, y'all gotta stop with these lines. Like, oh my goodness. So much. And I was just like, this guy thought he was doing like the most like genius work in the world. He's over here like, ah, yes, it sounds like hope. And like a big like American flag drops behind him. Like, and no, I was sitting there like, dude, come on.
In the background.
Oh my goodness. It was ridiculous. But yeah, also, I looked this up. The visions he's having is like not his daughter or anything, but it keeps saying like daddy, like, and saying like, daddy, like, come help me. That's not his daughter. The visions are, according to what I looked up, and I, like, yeah, apparently it's actually this girl who, did I end up writing it down? I feel like I should have, but maybe I didn't. Yeah, so she apparently is someone from the comics who is more like this idea of, like, loss or something. And so she, like, she appears to a lot of people. I think that's what it is. I may be wrong about that, but she's definitely not his daughter, which was very confusing to me when I looked that up.
Well, his daughter saved him from taking a nail to the head.
Exactly. She's like, I mean, he still kind of got it in his head, but not like.
I was very, I wasn't until he popped it out. I was like, why do you still have
your, like, I figured it had gone all the way through to like his head. I was like, I was like, there's no way that didn't. But yeah, so, yeah, he turns on a dime after just having like a quick 1.5 minute vision and suddenly just goes, yeah, okay, I'll go after them now. Like, it took no time for him to decide to go and join them. And then he had a whole other plan. Like, he had already thought of a whole new plan. He had learned how to convince them. Like, yeah. So he convinces them to return to the Citadel, which has ample water and greenery, and to trap Joe and his army in the Biker's Canyon. So the group heads back towards the Citadel, and they engage Joe's forces in a running battle in which a number of the Vuvolini, which was not fair, I liked the Vuvolini, and many of Joe's forces are killed, and Furiosa is seriously wounded. So I was real sad when Seed Woman died. I really liked her a lot. Her whole relationship with the Platinum Blonde was like the most interesting one in the whole movie, and I was real bummed. I was happy though when Blondie, like, you know, took her seed bag with her. I was like, good, okay, at least her work is moving on, you know, like, she lives on in this young woman, you know. And I kind of liked that, just the blonde girl anyway. She has some sass. I liked her. But it was a bummer.
Some sass.
Yeah, but in this scene, in this sequence, this fight sequence, my favorite moment happened, and I laughed so hard when Max climbs the musician area, like, all through the drummers, gets to the guitar player, picks up the guitar player, and for no reason throws him off, but the guitar player is attached with a harness, so he flies off and just flails around, and then, like, comes back and immediately catches the guitar and keeps playing like nothing happened.
Oh, yeah. No,
and I was like, this
look,
is the
music is life, man.
Dude, that was the best moment in the whole movie.
It was even
I
more
out
terrifying.
Loud laughed. That was the greatest
if you
moment.
Pay attention enough whenever his, like, hood flies up. He doesn't have eyes.
He doesn't have eyes. When his face was revealed, it freaked me out.
He
I was
doesn't
like,
have
who
eyes.
Is this? He looked like a demon. I was like, this is not a real person. Like, holy crap. No, he was insane. But I loved him. But yeah, so everyone is dead and or wounded. Joe positions his car in front of the war rig to slow it. While Max fights Joe's large adult son, Rick. Oh, I didn't know he had a last name, but it's Rictus Erectus. That's the greatest thing ever. I thought his name was just Rictus. I'm very happy. So, Joe captures Toast. I forget, which one is Toast?
Toast is probably the...
Toast is the one who tried to... No, because Cheeto's the one who tried to go back. Which one's Toast? Is Toast the blondie?
I think Toast might be the silver haired.
I think Toast is the blondie. Okay. So Joe captures Toast, who manages to distract him long enough for Furiosa to kill him. Nux sacrifices himself, which Nux's death...
Toast is Zoe Kravitz.
So is the Dag the blondie?
I guess, because that's...
So that's Toast.
Yeah, Toast is Zoe Kravitz.
Okay, so I guess the Dag is the blondie. Okay. I'm just calling her, like, Platinum Blonde Blondie, because I don't know who she is.
Right.
All these names are interchangeable. So Nux sacrifices himself by wrecking the rig, which that was a good moment. Nux's death was great. It was a great moment.
That was the only death that I was sad about.
I know, when he died, and it was such a serious and somber. It wasn't a ritualistic obsessive thing. It was just a like. It was just a very somber like witness me thing.
Yeah, it was like, a very, like, it was like
be here to watch me pass on, and it wasn't like a glory seeking thing. It was just. What, you know, like, watch me so you're the last thing I see. And I was like, that's a really good moment. And he acted it so well. He did a great job. Shout out to you, Nicholas Holt. So he sacrifices himself, he kills Rictus, and he blocks the canyon, which was what their goal was. And he allows the group to escape in Joe's car. Max transfuses his blood to Furiosa. Very convenient.
Universal donor, baby.
saving her life. And at the Citadel, the people rejoice upon learning of Joe's death. Furiosa, the wives, and the remaining Vuvellini, which I think is like one woman, are cheered by the crowd immediately and welcomed by the remaining war boys. Max shares a glance with Furiosa before leaving, which I did like their whole... I thought it was interesting that the whole crowd was immediately on board with a paradigm shift.
Well, yeah, because everybody hated them more.
Well,
than
no, but what? But like, until they released all the water, how are they to know that they're going to do anything differently?
Well, I mean, well, because it's Furiosa, and it seemed like Furiosa was popular.
I mean, that's true.
Beforehand, they did know Furiosa.
They did establish that in the beginning of the film.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Furiosa was like one of his like top warlords.
Yeah,
yeah, that's fair.
So yeah, you have to imagine that they would have known her.
Yeah. I just thought it was funny that they had all seemed like they were really worshiping him at the beginning, and then when they whip off and, like, see his body, everyone's just like, heck yeah, and starts, like, freaking out, and I was like, I thought y'all liked this guy, or
they had to at least pretend to, because he gave them water.
I mean, that's fair. I get that.
I love how one of the other son, I'm assuming it was a son, the one in, like, the little floaty, like, rolly chair.
Oh, the one, yeah.
Like, I find it funny that, like, literally everyone looked at him, and he's like, I ain't gonna do nothing. He's like,
oh, okay. I know, the kid is like, there's people, oh, he's dead, and the guy just goes,
yeah,
he just kind of makes a weird look at him.
That's fine.
Oh, it was very funny.
This is fine, everything's fine.
He was just like, it's fine, I don't care, like, I don't like my dad. But so, that was the end of the movie, so that is Mad
so
Max Fury.
So, the standouts for me were Charlize Theron and Nicholas Holt. They
were amazing.
The two of them were great.
Yes.
Tom Hardy was good, because Tom Hardy's good, it's just Mad Max wasn't given much.
No, he wasn't given a whole lot, and I did like Blondie. I thought she was the most interesting out of all the, like, wives, as far as just... developing the most interesting relationship with another character.
So John, we found out, we were looking at it, the only wife that was not a model was Zoe Kravitz. Zoe Kravitz was the only actual actor.
All the rest are models.
All the rest were just models.
Which
makes like Victoria's Secret models
them,
that
because
they got
to compare. Unbelievably beautiful.
And then Zoe Kravitz.
And then Zoe Kravitz, who is also unbelievably beautiful.
Yes.
But she's just also an actor.
Yeah, I would say she like that part was really well.
Also, the dude who played Rictus is a WWE wrestler, which tracks.
That tracks. Yeah, that makes sense.
I think Kurt Angle.
Nathan Jones is his real name. I don't know if he has a stage name or what.
I really hope that when he slams people down in the ring, he just looks at him and goes "moo." I really hope that's his catchphrase. All right, so real quick before I reveal it, what do you guys think? Don't look at it, John.
I'm not looking at it.
Yeah. What do y'all think out of 10 that this is rated on IMDb?
8.6.
We'll go with a solid 7.9.
Oh, you were closer. It's an 8.1. You were closer. You were closer. So this had a budget that's kind of questionable because George Miller says it was around like $150 million and Warner Bros. Said it's like $185 million. So it's kind of just disputed what the budget was. And it wasn't like a failure, but it wasn't a massive success. It only made $375 million. But it is the highest grossing Mad Max.
I want to say it was a sleeper hit. I want to say, like, after it came out on DVD, everybody was like, this is an amazing movie.
I think it just didn't do great in the box. I mean, it didn't fail by any means. It still profited, but it, like, it wasn't huge.
Well, I think it also, I think they messed up because I want to say it came out right when Age of Ultron came out.
Oh.
So I think they messed themselves up as far as timing.
That would have been their mistake.
Marvel
dominates.
Yes.
Marvel is known for, like, stealing the box office spotlight. Yes. Other probably well-known, if not fantastic, movies.
Yeah. All right, Look Away, both of you. I want you to guess what the critical rating on Rotten Tomatoes is for this. It's out of 100.
91%.
Okay. John?
85. I'm guessing we all, like, guessed higher.
No, you're closer. Because it was 97. It is very high.
Wow.
Very, very high.
Well, and why that is with Rotten Tomatoes is because Rotten Tomatoes doesn't take into account what you rated it. It just says positive or negative.
Well, and even the audience score is high. The audience score is 85.
Yeah, yeah, but really a lot of times Rotten Tomatoes will rate stuff higher as long as... you're going to get a higher rating on Rotten Tomatoes if more people liked it rather than if more people gave it really good reviews.
That's fair, yeah.
Because
yeah.
it just separates everything into a good review or a bad review.
I gotcha.
So that tracks. That makes sense.
I mean, that makes sense. So I went on Amazon to try to find, you know, just some reviews we could look at. But before I jump into that really quick, I do want to say just a couple of fun facts I found out. So first off, my favorite, the guitarist, he is apparently actually an Australian artist / musician. So he does actually play guitar. He's really well known as Iota, but his actual name is Sean Hape. And apparently in an interview, he said that the guitar he held weighed 132 pounds and shot real flames that he controlled using the whammy bar. He would just hit the whammy bar and boom, like flames would come out of it. Because that's another thing I saw is that all the stunts were like practical stunts. They only really use CGI for the woman's
arm,
her robotic arm, and then I think a couple of small things. But other than
that, I want to say George Miller is known for that.
Yeah, he wanted all the stunts to be real, like everything to be real, you know. also, I said the thing about George Miller's wife being the editor. She actually asked him why on earth he thought that she could needed to take it on because she'd never edited an action film. And he just replied, because if a guy did it, it would look like every other action movie. And then she ended up getting an Academy Award for Best Editing. So,
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah. And I think it works especially because, like, it is so focused on, like, all these women that I think it was good to have a woman edit it.
Right.
So it didn't do any of those classic action movie, let's just focus on this girl's ass as she just, like, walks through the sand really quick, you know? I appreciated that there wasn't any of that. Also, I appreciated that all the older actresses, like, playing all the Buvolini, did all of their own stunts.
That's cool.
Yeah, because there was a point where one of the older women literally takes a giant dude and throws him off a truck, and when I found out that actually happened, I was like, that's awesome.
Oh, you know,
she chucks him off the truck.
Him.
It was great. Yeah, so let me go into these reviews really quick, but before I do that, I want to see out of... let's actually go out of five. So out of five, let's call it five flaming guitars. What would you guys rate this out of five? I'll give you a second to think.
I'd give it a 4. I don't know that I'd go out of my way to watch it again, but it was a very well done movie.
Okay.
I'd give it a 3.6 flaming guitars.
Okay.
The characters just were not written that well.
I mean, that's fair.
The writing was poor.
That's fair.
Like, you had a fantastic cast, but the writing kind of botched it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the stunts were amazing.
Oh, the stunts were really good. Yeah.
Again, my only complaint with the visual side of the movie is the slight sped up of the film. It really gave me stop motion vibes, which I hate. So, besides that, if it weren't for that, I would have probably rated it even higher.
Yeah.
I mean, the cinematography was just so good. Some of the shots were... I mean, it kind of reminded me of the whole Stanley Kubrick thing of how he said every frame needs to be a painting. Kind of reminded me of that at times.
Yeah. I would probably also go with a 4, 4 flaming guitars for me. However, I will add... I'll make it like a 4.4 just for the guitar player, because he made it better just by being on screen. But yeah, I would say if I were to like have to recommend this to somebody, I would say if you like just really fun stuff to look at, you know, watching women be badasses, and you are fine like leaving the movie not knowing everything about the world and the story, then this is for you.
Yeah, it's a good popcorn flick.
Yes, it's great to just, like, you know, sit and have on and not feel like you have to focus super hard, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And you can just hone in on, like, some really cool moments. But, you know, it is a movie where if you look away, you're going to miss something, 100%. You'll miss a death if you just look away for, like, 2 seconds. I'm pretty sure I did because I was writing down notes. It's a good one if you're fine not knowing everything, but if you're someone who's kind of like me, who really wants to know everything about all the characters and wants to get a good backstory, good, like, you know, relationship building, it's probably not extensive for you. But I was still able to enjoy it, even though I do usually want those kinds of things.
It's so much.
The general consensus when I looked up on Amazon is really good. 77% of people who rated it 5 stars. The top positive review is titled Vroom Vroom by an anonymous customer, and it's all in caps. And it says, before watching this movie, I used to type like a normal person. Then I watched Mad Max Fury Road, and now I can only type in all caps. I barely have time for punctuation, which they misspelled, and I cannot check my spelling errors. Now in my head, 24/7, I hear revving engines and dum-dum-dum-bum music in my head. This movie will not only knock your socks off, it will light them on fire and blow them up. This movie is the most metal. This movie has so much testosterone that I feel like a young boy reaching puberty every time I watch it. I am a grown woman. And that is an amazing review. One of the worst reviews I saw was just so brutal, because there are a few people who rated it 1 star, but that's only 3%. So that's not, like, too intense. There were a couple people who were really brutal, but one of the worst ones was by someone named Marcus Killian, and it's just titled, Horrible Movie, Period. And it says, cheesy crap. Love Mad Max movies, but this is one of the crappiest flicks around and cannot even be compared to Mad Max. One good thing is the sound quality. Reason I rented it was to test the surround sound system. As far as the movie goes, I made it about 2 minutes in and was ready to turn it off. Do not waste your time or money. Stupid, lousy effects, got that move everything really fast and no one will notice the crappy stunts thing going on. If not for the fact that I wanted to warn others, I would not even have rated this garbage since I had to give it 1 star. I watched Killer Tomatoes and consider it a better movie. And 11 people found that helpful. Now, I don't agree with all that. That I feel like is a little too harsh, because it was enjoyable in spite of all, like, the weird things.
And the stunts were good.
The stunts were genuinely good. I don't know what he was saying about, like, crappy stunts.
I agree with the moving too fast thing, though.
I think that was a thing. Yeah, I agree with that. So if we were to recast each other in some roles in this movie, who could you see each other playing? You can't cast yourself.
Well, John's a Morton Joe.
100%, John is a Morton Joe. Right off the bat, you're Nux. You're easily Nux.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see that.
You're Nux.
Okay. Yeah, you're either Nux or you're the I got his boot guy. You're one of those.
No,
two.
That's Andrew.
That's Andrew. You're correct. But Andrew's not here.
No, he's not.
All right, which of the women are you going to throw me into the role of? I'm very interested. And I promise I'm going to be deeply offended by whatever you say.
You're Seed Woman.
I'm Seed Woman?
You're Seed Woman.
Ooh, okay, I'm okay with that. Seed Woman was great.
Seed Woman, who Loki has hinted at being pregnant halfway through the middle of a conversation.
Well, no. There's Seed Woman and then there's Blondie. Blondie was pregnant. Seed Woman is the old lady.
Oh, you're talking like Seed Woman, old lady Seed Woman.
Old lady Seed Woman.
Yes, because Blondie was pregnant, she just wasn't far along.
Seed Woman.
Yes.
It was like, I think she called it like Baby Joe.
She called it Warlord Jr. is what she called it.
Oh, okay, that's what it was.
Yeah, I liked her. She was very sarcastic, but I'm happy with the Seed Woman. I like her.
Yeah.
I was hoping it would be one of the badass, like, Bubalini. So, what were y'all's, like, favorite and least favorite moments in the movie? I mean, obviously my favorite moment was the guitar player flailing around when he gets thrown off. That was by far my favorite moment. 100%.
It's hard for me to pick a favorite moment because my favorite moments was a lot of the car chase stuff. The dirt biking chase was awesome. The buzzards chase was awesome. And then my least favorite stuff was just any of the character stuff.
My least favorite probably would have had to have been like, oh good lord, it was honestly just the whole like reaction to just the pregnant chick dying like from a Morton Joe. It like it felt like it should have heart to it, but it just didn't.
Yeah, it didn't have anything.
Like you could tell his character was supposed to be angry about it, but it just didn't read.
Yeah.
It didn't hit.
And that's why you should play Morton Joe. Mm-hmm. No disrespect to the actor who did. He did a good job. Needs to be rewritten.
Yes, it needs to be rewritten. No, I think my least favorite was the whole conversation between Furiosa and Max, where it was supposed to be like a bonding moment where like he was like learning about her past, but it was the most vague writing. It was like, yes, it was my homeland. I was taken as a child. Okay, by who and to where and what happened? Like, and she just went and like moved on. And he's just like, wow, that must have been tough. And I'm like, this is the most vague writing. That was by far That's my rough, least favorite buddy. Moment. That was yeah. by far my least favorite. But I mean, the guitar player just really made it all worth it. Yeah. I would watch it again for the guitar player. I would watch it again for him yeah. and for Nux.
I will say I did love the bikers just jumping over this giant freighter. Just yeah. it was like awesome. Not even like spears or like chucking like little bombs and stuff yeah. in there.
It was like just grenades. It was awesome.
I totally forgot to talk about the Polecats. The guys that were on the poles, cats
were awesome.
They were really cool. They were the polecats, like they would like swing in and like grab people and just sort of like yeah. either take them away or like kill them and drop them or something.
Right.
They just swooped in out of nowhere. I was like, okay, this is a pretty cool system. Yeah. Like that's pretty cool. I felt like I needed to acknowledge that because that was good. That was a good idea.
Great stunt work.
Yes. All right. Well, I think that's all that we have today. Next week we are going to be watching Gremlins, and I'm very excited about it. I haven't watched it in several years. We're going to see if it holds up.
She named her cat after a character from Gremlins.
I did. My cat's name is Gizmo, and Gizmo is about to turn 15, so let's have some respect.
They look like Furbies on crap.
They do. They do look like Furbies, but they're cuter than Furbies. So, yeah, we will be watching Gremlins. We'll be watching Gremlins next week. Be sure to watch, if you want to watch it and then, come back with us. Or if you just want to listen to it, that's fine, too. We are the Mad Artists. Our Instagram is currently, it might change, but currently it is Mad Artists at Mad Artists Productions. We also have personal Instagrams. Mm-hmm. I don't know if y'all wanted to, mention that also. Just plug yourselves. Mine's not a business.
There's
Instagram.
Nothing on my Instagram of note. There's no need.
I mean, I don't have anything to plug right now. share us with your friends.
Yeah, for yes. sure. Go follow us on Facebook and Instagram. It's Mad Artist Productions on both of those right now. We also have a website that I'll be putting in the description. All the links we use, I'll also be putting in the description. And we do have some other multimedia stuff coming out at the moment. It is an adaptation of Call of Cthulhu, which will probably be posted, in a similar fashion to how this is being posted. And we're going to be opening auditions for it on December 14th.
Except way shorter.
And subscribe.
Yes, definitely subscribe to us. Leave us a review if you want. Send us a message if you have any requests or any comments about anything. Anything we missed.
And if you're listening to this and you want the video, go check out our Patreon.
Yes, you can watch the unedited video on our Patreon. It comes with a $5 subscription. You'll be getting access to that as well as other, exclusive content from the Mad Artists. You can email us at banterbox.madartists@gmail.com. If you have any recommendations, comments, questions, concerns. And we will see you guys next week.
Toodaloo.